Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you again. I have this opportunity to share what God have given to me to talk to his church today. The message is from the book of Jonah, as you can see on the screen. I was asking myself, why Jonah? Why the storm? I want to give a very short testimony on what event happened one day in my country when I was going to do the baptism in the lake. We do baptism in the lake. We don't have a church building like what you have here, having a baptism pool in the church. We go to the lake. Those who are not near the lake, they go to the rivers. Our country is full of rivers. And we have lakes, we have rivers. So we are near the Lake Tanganyika. So when we have a baptism, we go down to Lake Tanganyika. One time I went to Lake Tanganyika, I had 15 candidates to be baptized. So we prepared, we go to the lake with the whole congregation to participate and see what will happen to for these people who are going to accomplish this commission of being baptized. So, as usual, I put on my robes, white, and when I was already going down to the lake, I feel in me like a kind of fear. And in my mind comes an idea saying, in this place must be something very dangerous. But I had no choice. I just look up the lake. I saw something there, like a piece of wood floating on the water. I didn't realize that it was a crocodile. And the crocodiles at that place was killing people. So those 15 people on the row were there. They could not see. But the other rest of the congregation saw that it was a crocodile. And I was already going in the lake, and the church was singing behind me. They didn't know, they could not say, oh, pastor, that is a crocodile. If I run, so it will come and pick me from there and cut me in two sides. So my sister was there in among the congregation. She started crying because she knew that I'm going to die. But as long as I was approaching that crocodile, the crocodile was going behind. It was going like this. And me, I was approaching like this. Like a blind man, I don't see if it is a crocodile. I could not. I was seeing that it's just a small piece of wood floating in the water. When I get to the place, because we could go where the water will come this side. So I went there and stepped. When I stopped, I turned around to see their congregation. And because when we go there, you, the baptizer, have to pray before you start the ceremony. So the one who was leading could not say, pastor, will you please now pray? Because they saw maybe if we make noise, if pastor can pray loudly, maybe this crocodile will come and cut him in peace. He stand like this. I saw that something was happening. I start praying. When I finished praying, the first person came. I baptized him until I finished. When I finished, I stay again. They could not say, come now, pastor, you can come out from the water. Because some have to pray before I come out from the water. So they were just looking at me like this. And I prayed. After praying, I start coming back from the water. And this crocodile was coming behind me. As long as I'm coming, he's coming behind me. So when I get to the back of the river, I get there on the sand, the crocodile, I saw that ship. Pastor, did you see this enemy? When I see like she came out, opened the mouth like this and go, my God. You see this one, we don't know. She was going this round, the side of you, but it didn't. I saw it. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what God wanted me to do to show me about this. But I thank God because I finished my job. So these are some of the signs God is showing in the ministry. As long as we are doing ministry, as long as we are living Christian life, we have so many things going around us just to try to make us fear accomplishing the what God has assigned us to do. So this here is also a prophet called Jonah, who God has given to him a mission to go to preach the word of God to his own people. But Jonah has political situation. He didn't like to go there because he saw that he didn't want those people to be to be forgiven by the Lord because of their wrongdoing they were doing for the God's own people. So let us turn to this book, chapter 1. We are going to read from verse 1. To verse 11. Jonah is among the 12 minor prophets in the Bible. So, if there is anyone who can make that reading for us, it will be better. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. Yeah. Jonah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai,
yes,
saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. When the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? So he said to them, God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.
Amen.
Verse 10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" Mm-hmm. For the sea was growing more tempest.
Amen. 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 This is a story in this book of Jonah, chapter 1. This contains the contents of the prophecy spoken by the prophet Jonah, and he's part of the book of the 12. He is, as I said, he's one of the 12 minor prophets. And this story, Jesus Christ has repeated this story about this miracle which was done in this situation. Jesus said, like the story of Jonah, who was in the womb of the fish, it's the same will be the Son of Man. So it's like a miracle when you can hear this story. You feel that it is a miracle which a human being cannot understand. It's a miracle. But it's the truth which was said here. It's not just a simple story. It's the truth what which happened. Jonah has a commission from the God. God was sending him to go to Nineveh, the great city, as the Bible says, because God says, "Arise and go." That was God asked him. He showed him where the city, where he has to go. And when you go there, cry out against the city so that they can repent their wickedness. But instead of going where God sent him, the Bible says, Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He saw that the way God is sending me there, and these people are enemies of my people, I cannot go there. Instead of going there, I have to take another direction. I have to go in different places just to flee the presence of the Lord, who is asking me all the time to go to there to meet these people. In Jonah's mind, he was thinking, maybe when I leave this place, I go to the different place, God will not again call me there. He didn't know that he's just under the hand of God. He's just fleeing from this place to this place. Though he's only in the hand of God. He doesn't know. He wants to go. I don't know. For example, if you are traveling in the train, the airplane, you feel that the airplane is making some movement of disturbances. Instead of taking what the captain is saying, that you should put your, what do you call it, belt. Seatbelt. You want to run from this place to the kitchen or to the and you are in the same plane. Nothing will change. This is what Jonah was thinking. I want to go to Tarshish. Maybe God is dwelling in Nineveh. You say Nineveh?
It's just here in Nineveh. I want to go to Tarshish. God will not be there. This is the thinking of Jonah. But it was not the case. God still knows he has Tarshish in his hand. He had this ship in his hand. The sea is in the hand of God. So God can do whatever he wants to Jonah, just to let Jonah come back. This is why he sent a storm. And it comes, verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So when Jonah said, I will be safe when I go to Tarshish. Let me go there. He paid the ticket and he went there in different direction. But God sent the storm to stop Jonah, to tell Jonah, you are not going anywhere. You are not going anywhere, Jonah. So Jonah, when he saw the movement of the sea, he went down and sleep, while others were suffering with the winds. When they understood that this is not a normal wind that we have to face when we are traveling on the sea, they start praying. They know that we are in danger. We can die anytime. So they start praying. They say everyone have to pray his God, because they were not believers of the Heavenly Father, the God, the Almighty God, the Creator. They were just praying or worshiping their small gods. They say everyone have to pray his God, so that to see if we can be saved. They start praying, but nothing happened. So the boat was almost going to break up. So they found that there is somebody who is just sleeping down there, and his name was Jonah. Verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, and where they found the ship, found him the port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose, the ship was threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. When the ship is in danger, people are crying and praying, Jonah was laying down and fell in a deep sleep. Why? Other people are suffering, are praying, are crying. But he went down and he fell in a deep sleep. Why? And how? He can, when things are going and worse, people are in terrible situation, you go down, you fall asleep. So this was something which were amazing people. So they said, verse 6, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Because you cannot understand. We are in a terrible situation. You are sleeping. How can you sleep? Can you tell us how you can sleep in this situation? It's like nothing is going on. He just go there and fell asleep. So he asked him, why are you sleeping? How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take a notice of us so that we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each another, come, let us cast unto the lots to find out who is responsible for the calamity. They cast, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? Now they want to know, because they saw that Jonah is the origin of this calamity. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people you are? So many questions without having any answer from Jonah. Tell us who is responsible of this making. He was the one who is the responsible of this calamity. And what kind of work do you do? He didn't say that he was a prophet. He was sent by God. He was resisting God. So where do you come from? He didn't say where he come from. What is your country? He didn't say his country. What are your people? He didn't say anything. But he answered, I'm Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, and who made the sea and the land. This terrified them and asked, what have you done? Because when he said that he's worshiping the God who make the earth, who make the sea, then they understood. They asked him, what have you done? You might be disobedient. If this comes because of you, and you are worshiping the Almighty God who created the heaven and the earth and the sea, so this comes because of you. So what have you done? Imagine you are being asked the question by the unbeliever. The unbeliever are asking you the question, what have you done for your God? This is a shame. They should ask us questions like that. We are worshiping the Almighty God, and those people are supposed, they don't know God, but when they understood that there is a calamity coming, and a supernatural, which is not habitual, because as a people walking the sea, they know which kind of the wind can come at this time and this time, they know. But if something came different, they see that is not natural. This is not thing that is original. So something different have been coming. So when they heard that the calamity came because of Jonah the prophet, who is worshiping God, who made the sea, who made the earth, he said, what have you done? You may have done wrong so that God can bring this to you, to stop you. Because he was going, God wanted to stop him in the middle of just stopping him in this way. And this terrified them and saying, what have you done? They knew he was running away from Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting ruther and ruther. So they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? You see this standing, this position, this answer, this this position he took. He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. When he say, pick me up and throw me into the sea, I'm asking myself, if he could ask them to bring him back, where you took me, bring me back there so that I can go to what God wants me to go. He says, pick me up, throw me into the sea. When they throw you into the sea, what will happen to you? You will die. So instead of saying, kill me, took me, pick me up, throw me in the sea. Oh my God. People. We people. I don't know how we are. I don't know how we are. But and he specified, he says, and it will become calm when you took me out of the ship, the things, the sea will be calm. You will be safe. You will go in your journey. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not. They wanted to row back from the land so that they can leave them there safe, but they could not do so because we don't know if it was a punishment coming on Jonah, or I don't know. For the sea grew wilder than before. Then they cried out of the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him aboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Before doing that, they wanted to save Jonah. They know that if we can cast him in the sea, he will die. So they wanted to save him, bring him back, but it could not. So they start crying. They start praying the Lord. We know that we are, do not punish us because we are just for killing this man. Because they know, pick him, throw him in the sea, he will die. Maybe we will be punished by the God. They start fearing God. But God did not. Jonah was saying that it is done, it is finished, I will die and it's okay. When they cast him, the big fish was ready, prepared by God to take Jonah. Jonah didn't get the water. He just got in the womb, in the mouth of the fish, and he went in the womb, and he closed his mouth. And that fish went deep down. Went deep down, went deep down onto the surface of the ground. Stay there. For how long? Do you remember?
3 days.
3 days. Prophecy. 3 nights in the womb. And he lay down. I'm asking me my question. How come he was breathing there? He could not eat there. He could not drink there. He stayed calm there. And after the 3 days, God asked the ship to bring him to Nineveh. The fish went to Nineveh, open, throw out Jonah. Jonah didn't resist again. He starts saying, in 3 days, in 4 days? How many days? 3 days Nineveh will be destroyed. 3 days. This is the message. 3 days, Nineveh. 3 days, Nineveh. The people repent because he was carrying the word of God. These storms was not an evil storm. This was the storms God brought to correct his servant. It was not a wicked storm. It was a corrective storm that God brought. So many times in the Bible, you can find storms. I remember, if I can open the book of John 6, John chapter, or Acts chapter 21, verse 4, another man of God who wanted to go to Jerusalem. The man of God was called Paul. And the people knew that when he go to Jerusalem, he will be in danger. He can be arrested. He can die. He says, "You don't need to discourage me. I'm going to Jerusalem. If they will bind me, okay, I'm ready. If they will kill me, I'm ready. But I'm going back to Jerusalem." He has a very good determination. I know other people, the three servants of God, who they were asked to worship God, to worship the king. And if they cannot, then they will cast them in the fire. They say, "We cannot bow our knee before your king." They didn't consider the fire. They didn't see the fire. They saw God who called them. Do you know them? Three young people. And Abednego. They didn't see, they didn't consider the fire. The fire is terrible. If you try to touch the fire, you will hear. You will hear how great, how painful is the fire. But they saw the fire, but they say, "We better respect our Heavenly Father. We cannot kneel down, bow down before you, King. We have the only King, that is God in heaven." For them, the fire was the storm, not made by God, not spiritual storm, not corrective storms, but destroying, because they were Satan was causing this to just stop them by doing what God wanted them to do. The fire they had to block them to accomplish. Another man, Daniel, send him in the where there is a lions. "Don't pray to our God for 3 days." He opened the windows and they start praying. They say, "Okay, he didn't respect. Okay, we can take him." And they did. But God shut the mouth of the lions. They didn't even touch him. The king was troubled all the night. And when he came, asked, "Did your God save you from this lion?" He said, "Yes, King." "Oh, yes, King, I'm here alive." All these things. So many stories. Job. In one day, all what he had, all the children, they died. Because of Satan went to God and said, he has to worship you because you surrounded him with all things. He will worship you. God said, "Again, go, but don't touch his heart. Take whatever you want." He did whatever he wanted. But Job remained faithful to God. He said, "I came empty-handed, and I will go back empty-handed. Lord, the Lord of God, be thankful." He could be like Kafunga, saying, "Oh, there is a time I was asking my wife, I cannot understand this. It's better for me to go and die in my country than being separated with all my children that God gave to me. All the 7 children are mine. I married you, you had no child. We stay with you more than 20 years. God gave us these children, beautiful children. I have sons and daughters, very beautiful. But now this situation is separating me from my children. No, I want to go back, take my children back, and because those people are looking on me, I'm ready, they will kill me, and they, my children are going to bury me. And maybe if I'm dead, you will be safe." When I told that to my wife, start crying. "Don't cry. I will not. Let us continue praying." Now, since I have been praying, I'm now feeling I'm happy. I'm happy even if those children are not here. I have a possibility now to fly to Kampala and be with them for 1 week and come back here. I have now that way out. So I say to my wife last night, I say, "I'm happy. I feel that everything is done. If they can come, okay. If they cannot come, okay. But me, I can go where they are. Because I have been approved for travel document. I can travel and come back." So I'm now released. My heart is released. So there are so many storms in Christian's life. We are facing political storms as a Christians. We are seeing things that we are not expected to be done. Injustice, we are seeing them. How people are doing world and world, are getting mad, are killing other people without, they don't care. They could come in my country, they get in the house, they kill the father, they start killing the little one to make you feeling bad and bad. They kill the little one, they kill the second one. If they are 5, they kill of them, and they start before killing your wife. Yeah, they do different things to your wife violence, sexual violence in front of you. And when they finish doing that, they kill your wife. And then lastly, they kill you. How hard is this? How can you imagine this situation? And those are supposed to help innocent civilians to protect them from all these things. They are not doing anything. So it comes, people were shocked, demoralized, traumatized. All these are storms. In this country, you can hear the people were gathered together in the church, worshiping their Lord God, praying for the peace. The people came with guns. People were sitting, innocent people, nothing in their hands. They just come to worship God and pray for their leaders, pray for the country, the peace of this country, pray for the people to be saved. They come with guns, start killing people. All this is to demoralize people, because people will fear, how can we go to the church? We can go and be killed there. But all these are storms. And every Christian, you have your storm, I don't know. The longer you are traveling in your life, you have your own storm. You have to understand this storm. If it is for a correcting storm, that's okay. Thank God for that. If it is just blocking you to accomplish the will of God, what are you going to do? Go down, pray the Lord God. Kneel down in your room and ask God his will to be done. If the storms come facing the church, the Christian have to pray a lot. The storm can face your church. The storm can face you as individual. If it is your time of being in this situation, Satan is attacking you for your faithfulness. Your fellow brothers in Christ have to join you in prayers, and God will help you. If it is facing all the members of the church, you bow down as a church of God and cry upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a protection. He has the other way he can do for you to help you in these storms. If it is a correct one, go back where you know that God has asked you to, and ask God, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. When you do like that, things will be calm. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. You'll be ready. God is going to use you. When he finishes using you, you will stay. So, our message today, I know Jonah, it's telling us so many things we can do. Jesus, he was seen by the disciples marching on the water. When the disciples saw Jesus, they want Jesus to get in the sea, in the boat, and everything was calm. So we need to have a great faith. I know this church is a praying church. I understand that. There is a time I told Mark, my brother Michael. Are you Mike or Michael?
I
told Mike, you know, I know you are few, but you have a great heart. This is what I said. The 3 years I have been here, I saw that you are few members, but you have a great heart. And this I say to you, not just to to make you happy, but it is what it is. You have a great heart. And God knows that you are like that. But whenever the storm can come, people are looking on you, what you are going to react. Storms can come in this place. You need there to stand before God and knock. We are coming in front of you, God. We ask for the peace of Fremont, peace of Newark. God will hear you. God will hear you. When I'm driving all the night, coming from my job, sometimes I can find people along the road, stopped by the police. They are like this, they are bound like this. People, I pass and see what is happening here. In this place is here, police are coming all the time. There is a time they arrested me during the night. I was driving slowly, I was finding a place to park my car. A police stand before me and he say, "Can you give me your driver's license?" I give. "Give me what and what?" I gave. But I was wearing my uniform, my work uniform. "Why are you driving slow like this?" "I'm finding a place to put my car." "Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Sorry." He gave me back the document that say drive safely. I thank God for that. I was fearing this night because people who are going around here, they are not good people, so I can be maybe considered like those, but he understood who I am. So I'm finishing this. I'm sorry for taking a long time, but what I want to ask you now is, do you understand your storm? Do you have a storm? If you don't have a storm, do your church have a storm? If there is not a storm in your church, your town have a storm, your country have a storm. If you found anywhere where there is a storm, you know what you have to do. You are there to help. This is why God brought this message to you. You are there to help because you can lift your voice and God is going to answer you. If you stand firm, like Paul, say, "Don't disturb me. Let me go to Jerusalem." Don't let people disturb you. Stand up and go before the Lord. Ask for this situation to be solved because God is the only answer to every storm. God bless you. Amen.